live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a new PSO has been agreed for the Donegal-Dublin Air Service. A preferred bidder is set to be confirmed in the coming days. The government hopes the new service will start on Monday week. The HSE says a surge in Delta cases will severely limit its ability to deliver non-COVID care again. We'll hear from the Director of Public Health in the Northwest. Donegal County Council's special meeting on MICA is continuing online. We'll have a report on this afternoon's proceedings and details of multiple incidents of alleged sexual abuse at a residential facility in Stranorer have emerged in the Dáil. We'll hear from that exchange. And later in the bulletin, Daniel is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Friday, big on North, the going Le Colum Ferreter. We begin with confirmation of a new PSO for the Donegal-Dublin Air Service. A preferred bidder is set to be confirmed in the coming days to provide the service. Monday week, July 19th, is the expected start date. The service was previously operated by Stobart Air on behalf of Aer Lingus Regional. Well, in Kerry, Ryanair will take over the routes on a commercial basis, but a new PSO is needed in Donegal. Junior Transport Minister Hildegard Nocton told Highland Radio News that a final agreement is close.
I'm delighted to confirm that my department has commenced contract negotiations with the preferred bidder to operate a route between Donegal and Dublin. So subject to a positive outcome in respect of that, I'm very confident that I'll be able to announce the preferred bidder shortly with a view to services resuming from the week of the 19th of July. This is really a critical route that government has treated with the highest of priorities. On the 12th of June, as you know, Stobart Air ceased all routes between Kerry and Dublin and Donegal and Dublin. We issued emergency tenders, so a lot of work has happened over the last few weeks. So I'm very confident that this preferred bidder will be in place with like-for-like services, the services resuming on the same basis as before in the week commencing the 19th of July.
In Kerry, Ryanair will provide services. It was never, I suppose, possible that a Donegal-Dublin service could be commercially viable enough to attract Ryanair to the northwest.
And these are considerations that government have to take, and that's why we have put a huge priority on our regional connectivity, and I in the department have responsibility for this area, so we need to ensure that where there isn't a commercial case for a route, that government steps in to provide government-funded public service obligation, which is what is happening with the Donegal to Dublin route. And I don't need to tell the people of Donegal or the Northwest region the importance of that vital connectivity. So that is why we acted very quickly to ensure that we engage in that emergency tender process. And I'm confident that that new service will be resumed the week of the 19th of July.
That was Minister Hildegard Nocton. Well, Ryanair insists no agreement has been reached on the restoration of the route between Dublin and Kerry. The company says the announcement by Ministers Eamon Ryan and Hildegard Nocton this afternoon was premature and inaccurate. Well, you can see that full announcement on our website, highlandradio.com. Donegal County Council has been meeting online in a special public session today to discuss the MICA issue. The meeting, which began at noon and is still underway, was called by Cathaoirleach Councillor Jack Murray. He said it doesn't sit well with him that MICA-affected properties were purchased by Donegal County Council. He also said he wants answers to claims that the council continues to buy products from manufacturers responsible for defective blocks. Well, Daniel Brennan now reports on today's proceedings.
Today's meeting was told by a number of members that unity is vital, with all councillors agreeing that 100% redress for affected householders must be the priority, to be followed by a public inquiry. In the meantime, in a show, Municipal District Cathaoirleach Bernard McGuinness urged people on social media to stop making accusations against named individuals. Councillor Rena Donaghy told the meeting there are 25,000 vacant homes in Donegal, and there needs to be discussions on how some of those can be used for MICA families to live in while their homes are being repaired or rebuilt. Councillor McBride said between all the homes and other buildings, it will take a massive number of construction workers, and he said it may be necessary to urge people from the county living abroad to come back to work. He said it could take up to 10 years to do what needs to be done. A number of members said there needs to be a full study into how much of the council's own housing stock has been affected. Earlier, Councillor Frank McBurdy claimed a letter written by engineer Dr. Ambrose McCloskey was sent to Councillor Martin McDermott, the chair of the MICA Redress Committee, but not passed on to the members. Councillor McDermott told the council he had received a personal letter from Dr. McCloskey on on February 23rd, and that was passed on to the executive.
Well, Councillor McBurtie has also raised a number of other issues at the meeting today. He also said that he will be taking legal action and his lawyers will take this all the way to the High Court if necessary. And in a move this afternoon, he said he would be urging council tenants not to pay their rents because he said the council is providing them with homes that aren't fit for purpose. This amidst the discussion that a number of council homes are now affected by mica. Well, the Chief Executive, John McLaughlin, has pledged to answer a number of questions raised by members and by members of the public. He says he will post those answers on the council's own website. Well, earlier in a statement, Donegal County Council confirmed that block work at the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny is to be inspected following unconfirmed reports of the presence of mica there. Responding to queries from Highland Radio News, the council said following an assessment of cracking to the flume tower, it was apparent that block work in and around the cracking was of poor structural quality and unfit for purpose. It was decided to remove the block work from the tower and reconstruct the outer leaf. The council says a further visual inspection of the exterior of the centre did not reveal any imminent issues of concern or particularly significant cracking. However, an approved consultant engineer has been engaged, the council says, to conduct a report on the blockwork and advise the council on appropriate actions. Well, there have been calls for flexibility within the mica redress scheme to deal with exceptional cases in the Dáil last evening. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh said there was a large family, including children with special medical needs, whose homes are recommended for demolition because of mica, and he says they're not in a position to move out of their home while a new one is being built. He told the Dáil a protocol must be agreed to deal with such cases.
What I would ask for the officials in both local authorities in Mayo and Donegal, the housing agency, and also your own team of officials to sit around the table and look at a protocol which will have that flexibility where people's unique circumstances, unique situation, the unique situation of this large family who cannot get a house that will satisfy their needs during that period of the new house being built.
Well, Minister Peter Burke did say that flexibility is needed and pledged to look into the issue. Details of multiple incidents of alleged sexual abuse involving 19 residents at a disability residential facility in Donegal have emerged in the Dáil. Deputy Thomas Pringle accused the HSC of failing to take action over the abuse at Ardna Grainne in Stranorer, dating back 13 years. It's claimed that when HSC management were made aware of the incidents, the alleged offender was isolated, but then returned back among fellow residents, and the abuse is believed to have begun again. Deputy Pringle says he was left with no other option than to raise the issue publicly.
Initially, the HSE in Donegal had conducted an internal report. At the same time, I had discussed this issue with the previous Minister, Finian McGrath, who requested a separate report from the HSE in Dublin. And I'm very glad he did this, because it is clear that the HSE management in Donegal could not be trusted, as it seems that they were attempting a cover-up due to the fact that the two reports did not match up. A whistleblower had first raised this issue in 2008, and since then has been in touch with the HSE, HICWA and the Gardaí. I stand here 13 years later, after having exhausted all possible avenues, and still nothing has been done.
Well, Minister of State for Health Anne Rabbitt said she was shocked by what she heard and sought a copy of the report. However, she was refused a copy of the report and eventually given what she described as a redacted copy of the report by email on a screen. She says when she saw it, what it said was stark.
Earlier this week on Tuesday, following correspondence with the HSE CEO, a redacted version of the report was finally shared with me for viewing on a screen. Today I wrote to the chair of the HSE board once again, seeking a physical copy of the report. From what I read on Tuesday, I found the report a stark read. The scale of the abuse detailed and the seemingly breakdown of policies and procedures at the site was both appalling and devastating.
The HSE says a surge in Delta cases will severely limit its ability to deliver non-COVID care again. It's worried that scheduled appointments will have to be cut to deal with an influx of virus patients. It does say that Ireland is in a different place now as the vaccination programme offers a defence. The Director of Public Health in the Northwest, Dr. Anthony Breslin, says caution is needed with the Delta variant, even amongst vaccinated people.
So that's why we're very much taking the precautionary approach, that even if you are vaccinated, you still have to be careful because you could have a minor infection, a minor illness, or you could have severe illness that the vaccine hasn't taken. And we don't want you to spread it to someone else.
EU-UK relations will improve if both sides can deal with problems associated with the Northern Ireland Protocol. That's the view of Britain's Brexit Minister, who addressed MLAs at Stormont today. David Frost said the EU appears to offer only one solution to the impasse.
I think the problem we've got is that at the moment the EU only seems to envisage one solution to this problem. And their solution to all these problems is, why don't you just adopt our rules and then there won't be a problem?
The Cathaoirleach of Donegal Municipal District has criticised vandalism at an emergency defibrillation unit at Mull Park in Ballyshannon. Councillor Barry Sweeney says the outside casing of the unit was cracked. It seems it was kicked. The cost of installing a new unit will be in the region of €1,400. Councillor Sweeney was speaking earlier to Daniel Brennan.
Yeah, well, it was very disappointing to see that damage at the defibrillator unit in at the Mall Park in Ballyshannon recently. It appears that the unit itself has been kicked. It's not a case that a vehicle could reverse into it or anything, because there is bollard right beside it. And so the damage was actually to the outer casing. And, you know, the scary thing about this is that it's just the outside unit that was damaged. The defibrillator itself was not damaged, apparently. But the fact that there's moisture getting into this unit, the seal was broken, and it's actually a heated unit and a moisture-controlled unit. So therefore, it has rendered this defibrillator useless. To replace this new unit, the one that the first responders are looking at is in the region of €1,400, you know, between €1,300 and €1,400. It's actually a defib tech model, so it's upgraded, it's quite strong and robust, so you could drop it on the ground or bounce it off a wall and it will still work. But it's quite a lot of money, and you know, they don't come cheap, and I'm sure the person who lifted their foot that day probably didn't realise the damage that they were doing in an instant of madness, you know, to just indiscriminately kick a unit like that, causing a crack and therefore causing the unit to be rendered useless. It was a very costly exercise, and active vandalism is really what it can only be called.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Daniel Brennan.
Good evening, Donal. We'll start with soccer, and Finn Harps will play host to Waterford FC tonight in the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division. Kickoff at Finn Park is at 5:45, and there's live coverage here on Highland Radio with first half updates and then the second half with full live commentary. But now let's go live to Ballybofey, setting the scene ahead of a crucial game for Ollie Horgan's side is Dermot Doherty.
Thanks very much, Daniel. Yes, welcome along to Finn Park in Ballybofey. Harps against Waterford, as you say, a big game for both teams, this one. And it's interesting, the team news from both camps. Harps include their new signing, Jordan Musto, in a fairly changed starting 11. Sean Boyd is in there from the start as well. Dave Webster returns. Johnny Dunleavy is named in defence. Kosover Siddiqui, of course, is missing tonight because he's suspended from this one. So some changes for Ollie Horgan's team. And remember, Dave Webster scoring a late winner against Waterford the last time the Blues were here in Ballybofey. That was back at the beginning of April, and believe it or not, that was the last time that Harps have managed to win at home this season. Waterford show some changes to their team as well. They made a raft of new signings over the last couple of days. Of course, the July transfer window now is firmly open. Three of those new signings are included in their starting 11. Anthony Wordsworth is a midfielder, formerly of Barnet and Wimbledon, experienced player across the water, and even more experienced, Eddie Noland, capped three times by the Republic of Ireland back in the day. Well, he has returned to his native Waterford, and he is named in the start tonight. He's a defender, of course, very, very experienced, has played with a number of teams over in England. And another new signing is Junior Quatimua, a 21-year-old who has joined from Charlton Athletic. So certainly new faces to watch out for here. Of course, Waterford under the stewardship now of Mark Burcham, who came in May in place of Kevin Sheedy, and he's had a mixed bag of results in the intervening period, but this is a big one tonight. I'm joined on commentary tonight by Declan Boyle once again. Declan, this is a big game for both sides, given the situation at the bottom end of the table.
Yeah, massive game for for both clubs. And I suppose it's really important tonight that Hearts pick up 3 points, because we started off well, and I suppose the moment we've been through a bad patch and we probably kind of fell off a cliff a wee bit, so it's really important we turn that around and we get something out of this game. It's definitely a must not lose game, considering that we're 7 points ahead of Waterford. And so it's, you know, I suppose performances haven't been bad at home, but it's all about results, and we need a big result tonight.
Yeah, well, there you have it. There aren't too many games on tonight in the Premier Division, Daniel, because of the European action during the week. Derry City, Arion Pats later on, I'm sure you'll mention that as well. But this is the one we'll be concentrating on tonight. It kicks off at 5:45, and we'll chat to you then.
Thanks for that, Dermot. I once again kick off at Finn Park for Finn Harps against Waterford FC. Tonight is at 5:45, and we'll have live coverage on Highland with first half updates, then the full second half of live commentary live here on Highland. Elsewhere tonight, St Pat's can move level on points with Sligo and Shamrock Rovers at the top if they can beat Derry City. Pats go into the quarter to a kick-off at Richmond Park, seeking their first league win in 3 games. For Derry, a long-term injury to Mark Walsh means that the winger will not be available anytime soon, while Jamie McGonigal picked up a knock in training this week and is rated as doubtful. Also this weekend, the qualifying round of the FAI Cup takes place, with two Ulster Senior League sides in action, and both of them are at Leinster Senior League opposition. Cockhill Celtic are at St Mochta's tomorrow, while Bunnaggy United are in Kildare facing Maynooth. Celtic have signed highly rated 19-year-old Donegal midfielder Tyler Toland from Manchester City. Her signing with the Hoops follows Toland's spell with City in the Women's Super League, where she also gained Champions League experience. And a loan spell with Scottish Women's Premier League side Glasgow City followed last year. Toland became the youngest ever Irish women's international player at just 16 years of age. To Gaelic games, and there are 4 quarterfinals in the Ulster Under-20 Football Championship this evening. Tyrone's bid for 3 in a row sees them go up against rivals Donegal in a repeat of last year's decider. The game has an 8 p.m. throw-in at Healy Park in Omagh, and the match will be live on HighlandRadio.com with Oisín Kelly and former Donegal Under-20 manager Gary McDade on commentary. Also, Cavan welcome down to Kingspan Breffni Park, while Derry will take on Monaghan. Brewster Park is the venue, meanwhile, for Fermanagh's meeting with Antrim. And the Donegal senior footballers and hurlers are also playing this weekend. Declan Bonner's Donegal are involved in the last quarter final of the Ulster Championship on Sunday, when they host Derry at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. That game will be live on Sunday here on Highland from the 4 o'clock throw-in. Donegal already have a game under their belt with a comfortable win over Down 2 weeks ago. Martin McHugh is expecting a tighter game on Sunday and feels Donegal should have too much for their neighbours.
The big plus in the whole thing with Donegal is you would feel that, you know, Donegal, you would feel by a squad of a better squad than Derry, because, you know, players, and that's the important thing. The squad becomes very, very important, and that the home advantage, you would hope, Oisín, would make a difference. That Donegal have a good record in Ballybuffet. They're hard to beat in Ballybuffet and everything else. So you'd hopefully that home record would make a difference.
Yeah, and you're expecting a much tighter game, are you?
Oh, it's going to be a lot tighter. I know people are saying about Derry, you know, the Division 3 and everything else, the test and everything else. I know of Ulster football, you know, I won when I was playing in 1983. I think we won the Ulster Championship from Division 3. I don't think it matters in Ulster. You know, we saw Cavan won it last year and won Division 4. This is going to be a tough match. This is a local derby. Derry have a lot of good footballers, and it's been proven at club level and proven, you know, how much they've improved even since last year. And they pushed Armagh to a point last year in the Championship, and they've improved immensely since that there. So, yeah, it's going to be a big battle. It's going to be a tough game, and it's going to be a good game. And whoever comes through it, it'll stand for them. You know, if you don't pick up any injuries or red cards, it'll stand for where either team comes through against either Tyrone or Cavan.
Let's not forget about Tyrone as they meet Cavan in a quarter-final on Saturday at Healy Park in Omagh. It's a big day for the Red Hand County, as it's the first championship game for the new management team of Fergal Logan and Brian Duher. The winners from those 2 games this weekend will meet in the Ulster semi-final. Also in football, the Derry Miners have an All-Ireland semi-final on Saturday against Meath in Newry. Also, the Donegal hurlers will look to make up for the disappointment of losing to Mayo last time out, and they will reignite their defence of their All-Ireland Nicky Racker title. They go to Leitrim on Saturday, and the Donegal hurling manager is Mickey McCann.
We just can't be complacent. Go in there with the right attitude and the same intensity we brought against Mayo, and that should be enough to see us out of that game, you know. But you never know in hurling, Oisín, a couple of soft goals or anything like that can happen, you know. So we'll really be switched on and bring the right attitude, Oisín, and make sure that we come out of there a result, because it's a big plus for us if we can get straight to the semi-final instead of the quarter-final, you know, and coming through the hard way, the other direction, you know.
Elsewhere, Mayo could be without a number of players for Sunday's Connacht football semi-final with Leitrim in Castlebar. The Mayo County Board say they are working with the HSE on a number of COVID-19 related queries, but declined to say whether or not there was a positive case within their squad. Manager James Horne named his starting 15 for the game last night, but did not give details of his substitutes bench. There is Ulster Ladies Under-16 Championship action beginning this weekend. The first round will see Donegal face Tyrone this Friday, today, at 7.30. The venue for throw-in there is O'Donnell Park, and it begins at 7.30. Kerry and Galway will get the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship underway this evening. Their Group D game will throw in at 7.30 in Ennis, and Donegal will be watching on with a lot of interest, as they are also in that group. To golf, and Rory McIlroy had a bizarre start to his second round at golf's Scottish Open this morning, after a spectator walked up to the tee and took a club from his bag. A man was filmed holding the Northern Irishman's driver, and one person reported to the Scotsman newspaper that he even had a few practice swings with it. He was eventually led away by a security guard. And Padraig Harrington is in a tie for 12th, midway through his second round at that Scottish Open. The three-time major champion is 2 under par for the day after 10 holes, and 6 under overall alongside Cormac Sharvin. John Rahm, meanwhile, leads the way on 11 under, and Rory McIlroy currently sits 1 shot outside the cut mark on 1 under. To rugby, and 3 Irish players will be named in the British and Irish Lions team for tomorrow's game against the Sharks. Ty Furlong, Ty Byrne and Jack Conan have all been handed starting roles by Warren Gatland. Jamie George captains the team, with Conor Murray among the replacements. The lineup shows a total of 13 changes from the side that played the same opposition earlier this week. To boxing, and it's been widely reported that British heavyweight boxing world champion Tyson Fury has tested positive for COVID-19, leading to the possible postponement of his fight with Deontay Wilder in 2 weeks. They were due to meet for a third time in Las Vegas on the 24th of July, but sources have told The Athletic that at least 10 of Fury's camp have contracted the virus. To tennis, and Matteo Berrettini is through to his first Grand Slam final. The Italian beat Hubert Hurkacz in 4 sets in their Wimbledon semi-final earlier this afternoon. Meanwhile, 5-time champion Novak Djokovic and 10th seed Denis Shapovalov are in the early stages of their last 4 clash. Djokovic currently up 6-5 in the first set. And finally, Ireland's athletes and coaches are making their way to Japan for the Tokyo Olympics. The latest flight for Team Ireland departed this morning, with Donegal's Mark English and Daniel McGee on board. We'll be continuing with our Olympic preview specials this weekend. On Saturday after 5, we'll be hearing from Mark English and County Tyrone's Eilish Flanagan. And then on Sunday after 3, we'll be speaking with Athletics team manager Teresa McDade. That's all from the sport for now.
Thank you very much indeed, Daniel. Agus an ish an nocht. Olive, eich Colm Ferriter.
Colm Ferriter and Shaw were good prive skelty. Curran Conran na gaelig a falcha riv na lassiha, ta fogriha don velia na djanga ha offigula. Carsias artu mardol conchen santasa don velia. Agus gawal shidig suol leve abelta, frastel nis far, eran fobal frij gaelig a margal artu. A mask na lassiha fogriha na golia carsias sprick, gome fiha fwingaed, then a harki hanua a golerti pobli inuel erengeliga riva fiha augustraha. Gome feimer an ara dati a hochru la rilahan a holachrihi. Servishi frijvan negeliga snalimischer planala changa. Agus konyanti gach colert pobli fiha fuinged er alayed. The hud fogriokta vliantul ingeliga. Agus kuig fuinged than a hud fogriokta a yenav snaman geliga. Takistia kuchover few da puncha da villun euro, fogriha concodu le chile, calihe, gaeltacta, a coran colostin or foil a scholarly, a rastalian or na colosti sauri, coru and kistiacta or foil da haru, cursi giliga se gaeltacta ve corha or cal, dundarna sauru as a kela, margalar, covid and nijeg, ardu brescia is in catru erin de in catru erin venu. A hen punch a shavillion a curu were filed in the Namrati and Nuri, not a curu, no cursi geltacta or cal. Augusti the Carfalcha, River Nogurch, Kur and Kilnagri at Concas, a yenin onadiacta erna Colisti Sauri, Goosian am Dullinglecklish and Kesht, Kuchavakur filed in the Colisti Hain Comai. Carter Falcher River Kach Claru Don Skim Spestruk Sauri at a Raktal Tishmahori Nigeltakta Egansi of Tishmahori Bunkai E. Kadiu Oskion Hain Ponchashe Villion Don Agri of Changra Hartrev Shatri Bliana Kontaku Lachili at a Togol Poistili Geliga Erna Malav agus coru lower ur the foisty or foiled sira nashke er and sieve leanra letcher cannon le jenny morin agus and jean glassel in our carter shias nabali a hui chaila inglek le jackrakti na jean glassela tan lower scrifa ag malachy doyle agus moishihe egg andrew whitson shinma Hodge Rigolier Slanagus Bala.
Gramagus Colum Agus Anish on Aimshire. Sunny spells and scattered showers this evening. The chance of the showers will continue overnight, but it will become mostly dry with clear spells developing. Highest overnight temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees Celsius, quite humid in light winds. Tomorrow we'll see a mix of sunny spells and passing showers for much of the day. Fairly warm and humid again, with maximum afternoon temperatures hitting 19 to 22 degrees Celsius in light southerly breezes. Main stories in brief this evening, and a new PSO has been agreed for the Donegal-Dublin Air Service. A preferred bidder is set to be confirmed in the coming days. The service is set to start on Monday week, July 19th. Donegal County Council met online in special public session today to discuss the mica issue. The meeting was called by the Cathaoirleach, who told members it doesn't sit well with him that mica-affected properties were purchased by Donegal County Council. Chief Executive John McLaughlin has pledged to answer a number of questions raised by members of the public and by members of council. He said the answers will be posted on the council's website. And the council has confirmed block work at the Oral Leisure Centre in Letterkenny is to be inspected following unconfirmed reports of the presence of mica. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock until then from the news team. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 9th of July. The death has occurred of Dick Hanlon, Tuberkeen, Dunloe. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral service in Church of Ireland, Dunloe, at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Mary Callaghan, Glengannon and Pound Street, Carndonagh. Her remains will arrive at the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, this evening at 6:45 for Mass at 7 o'clock. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Joe Grant, McGinn Avenue, Buncrana. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly for family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people permitted. Prayers and rosary will be said this evening at 6 o'clock from Cock Hill. They can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. Joe's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Buncrana. The death has occurred of Josie Temple, née Kelly, Cavan Lower, Killigordon. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. The death has occurred in London of Patsy Boner, formerly of Mean Drain, Dunloe. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Frank McKinney, 12 Ballycommon Road, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com/webtv. And the death has occurred of Sissy McBride, née McGinty, Carnamugger Upper, Mountain Top, Letterkenny.
Her remains will arrive at St. Eunan's Cathedral this evening for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live at churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDaid and Sons funeral directors.